He's a great God, amen. Come on, help me out. I said, He's a great God, amen. Praise the Lord. You see, brother, God is faithful. You know, when they were singing, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, and I thought about Moses when he wanted to see God's glory. And God said, I can only show you my hind parts, but they had to get all the animals off the mountain everywhere because the glory of God, it was so strong it would have killed the animals. And I thank God now we can get in His presence and we don't have to worry about that. Come on. Jesus Christ paid that price. If you really want to see God's glory, He'll show it to you. You might need to take some time off of some things that you're normally doing. But if you really want to see God's glory, He'll show it to you. He'll show up. He'll show up every time. Amen. Last week, we preached a really good message called Keep the Faith. And if you can't watch us online or later on, and if you want a copy of any message, please write it down. We'll make you a copy on CD form. They're free. And I can see where the Lord is leading us, how these messages are all kind of tying in one to another. From chill out to keep the faith till I entitled this one, The Enemy of Unbelief. How many knows we have an enemy out there, an enemy of unbelief? And so many of God's people, they get robbed of their healing. They get robbed of blessing. They get robbed of actually the life that God has for them because they hang around the wrong folk. I said, they hang around the wrong folk. If you're believing for your healing, you need to hang around people that believe in healing like you do. Come on, I'm telling you something. Birds of a feather flock together, and the enemy will always make sure that he brings the wrong person to you. Amen? To try to fill your head full of unbelief or try to rob you of your faith. But I want to start out here in Romans chapter 3, and I want to take my time here. And I want to read verses 3 and 4. What if some did not believe? Boy, there's a lot of them in the world that don't believe. We have a world full of people that don't believe. You know where God's really starting to move in the young folk? Come on, in the young folk. In the young folk. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Paul's asking a question here. And then he answers it. He said, God forbid. God forbid. Let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you might be justified in your sayings and you might overcome when you are judged. Paul said, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief or the people around you, their unbelief, make the word of God of no effect in your life? God forbid. God forbid. Don't allow the unbelief of anyone to nullify your faith in God. I don't care who it is. Don't allow it. It's unbelief from others that the enemy uses to try to hinder your faith from working the way God intended it to work and the way God designed it to work. Man, there's a world full of unbelievers out there. But let me just say this. No one's unbelief will cancel out the promise that God has given you unless you allow it to. We need to be wise about the enemy. We need to be wise. You are the deciding factor this morning. You're the deciding factor. Paul said, God forbid that anyone's unbelief make the faith of God without effect. He was so adamant about this. Paul was so adamant about this that he said, let God be true and every man a liar. What was he saying? Everyone that says the word of God is not true is a liar. Everyone that says healing is done away with is a liar. Come on. Everyone that says the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not for today, they're liars. Come on. He said, let God be true, let His word be true, and everyone that says it isn't true is a liar. And it's sad because there's people that get lied to behind pulpits all the time. They're anti-faith, they're anti-healing, they're anti-everything. All they want to do is preach. Sin. God takes unbelief very seriously because He knows how it will affect your faith. He knows how it will affect your faith. The Word of God will not profit you unless it's mixed with faith. It will not profit you a bit. He said in Hebrews 4:2. That's 2 Timothy. That's all right. She's like me. She gets ahead of herself. She gets all excited about this stuff. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached to them did not profit them. It did no good. It went right over their head, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Amen. It didn't profit them. We showed you last Sunday where Paul told Timothy that some putting away faith have made shipwrecked. They've become shipwrecked. Don't let these kind of folks take you down with them. Let me say that again. Don't let these kind of people take you down with them. Come on, that's who the enemy uses, as people. Have you noticed that? He uses people. You know, there can be some sincere people out there that are sincerely wrong. I went to, they used to wear me out when I first started pastoring, because I thought I had to be everywhere at all time, and 3 hospitals in one day, and running here and running there. I thought I had to pray for everybody's relatives, and I learned a lot, though. They wanted me to go to pray for this man who was dying, and I went over there to pray for him, and I told him who I was, and he started telling me how the Word of God wasn't true. I thought, what in the world am I doing here? He's going to die. So I prayed for him, and it was like just nothing happened. I left, and he died. Oh, he says, I'm telling you right now, them tongues, they're not for real. And you know, that healing stuff, that isn't for today. And I'm thinking, you're dying, and I'm over here to pray for. I'm thinking, he ain't got long to go. What happened? The enemy of unbelief got a hold of him. Either when he was being raised, or in a traditional setting, or something, he was poisoned by the enemy of unbelief. And we're just getting started here. Don't let these kind of folks take you down with them. There's always going to be doubters, always going to be those who don't believe, but that's not you. Come on. I said, that's not you. That's not you. You know, when Paul, and we showed you some of it last Sunday, when Paul wrote his letter to Timothy, he was telling Timothy about how it would be in the last days. And 2 Timothy 3, he said, in the last days, you know, there'll be perilous times. Men shall be lovers of self, boastful, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then he went on to tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, he said, having a form of religion, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Why? Because Paul didn't want anyone robbing the power that was available to Timothy. He said, when they deny the power of it, just stay away from them. Yeah, they might say this, and they might quote scripture, but when they say this is done away with and healing's done away, and all, when they deny the power, in other words, it's like a denomination that don't believe in the full gospel. Amen. He said, turn away from them. Why? Because he didn't want them to rob. Paul said this, that there's exceeding, great and precious promises to us. Amen. That God has exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. There's power available to the believer. Amen. But don't ever let the enemy of unbelief through anyone tell you, come on, listen, oh, you're a part of that faith bunch, huh? Well, yeah, well, so was Jesus. Jesus started this faith stuff. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Come on. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Be it unto you according to your faith. Oh, ye of little faith. The whole Bible is a faith book. From cover to cover, it's a faith book. And we don't want to allow the enemy of unbelief to rob us of our faith or anything that God has for us. God's got something better than what we've ever experienced. Can I say that again? He's got something better than we've ever experienced. When Jesus turned the water into wine, you know what the governor of the feast said? He said, you've saved the best wine for last. Wine is a type of the Holy Spirit. I believe that God has saved the best for last. Come on. I believe it. I believe it. I believe he's putting people together, not in really large places, but small places where they're actually believing the Bible is true from cover to cover. That's why when one of your relatives have a stroke, you can tell them, speak life to them, because you know what the Word of God says. The doctors are never the final authority. Never, never, never. when I get a bad report from the doctor and I'm standing in faith for my healing and folks around me don't believe I'm going to be healed and my own body is telling me it's not working, I must not let the voice of the unbelieving or the voice of my body or the report from the doctor make my faith of no effect. Come on. Nothing should make my faith of no effect. Paul said, if some don't believe, is that going to make the faith of God of no effect? God forbid, he said. God forbid. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? Boy, Isaiah nails it about Jesus. He nails it about healing. He nails it about what Jesus did on the cross. He nails it about the day we're living in. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Think about that for a minute. Who has believed our report, the report of the Lord? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord is only going to be revealed to those who believe the report of the Lord. Come on, that's it. Come on, help me out a little bit. Those that believe his word, with all the negativity going on in the world today. And we're going to hang on to our faith. Who hath believed our report? You know, sometimes you might have to stand alone. But who cares? Because God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Come on. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Your own spouse or some one of your kids or one of your... Somebody might not agree with your faith at times. But you know what? You've got to believe. You can't let... And they're good people. Good people. They're sincere people. There's a lot of sincere people that are sincerely wrong about the word of faith. Sincerely wrong about the Bible. Listen, if one part of this book's done away, we might as well throw it all out. Huh? We can't pick and choose. Just read the Bible. It's all faith from cover to cover. Amen. Always remember this. Your dream doesn't walk away when people walk away. Your dream doesn't walk away when people walk away. Amen. Oh, everybody loves you when you're winning, but what about when you lose a game? Oh, you know how that is. Oh, you should have done this, and you should have played like this. Yeah, you're not the one out on the field. Shut up. Encourage these kids. Come on, encourage them. I called, he and I drove back together from the playoff game, and I called him the next day. I said, look, encourage these kids, man. Keep them encouraged. God's got a plan for them. Keep them encouraged. Keep the faith. Help them to keep the faith. Don't let the enemy of unbelief around them. I said it before. You don't have to worry about anybody getting on too fire for God because there's always a wet blanket around to put it out. Thank God there's no wet blankets in Church of Life. None of them. Hallelujah. None of them. We got angels sparing houses. If you could see the pictures of the house that was burning next to her, listen, even the heat from that thing should have melted your house right now. But God, come on. Come on, but God, hallelujah. We've got angels assigned to our case. The Bible says the angel of the Lord camps round about those that fear him. Come on, that doesn't mean everybody, right? But that means us because we fear the Lord. Amen. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear him and delivers them. Woo! And delivers them. Praise God. Think about that just for a minute. God is so good. Don't let anyone lie to you and tell you that God won't heal you or that healing was done away with. Oh, that God wants you that way. Don't listen. Like the Apostle Paul said, let God be true and let every man be a liar. Let God be true. This Bible is truth. They came too late to tell me about it. They came too late to tell me some of this book was done away with. They came too late. Come on, they came too late. I was going up to a Baptist church one time to preach, and the deacons were out there smoking cigarettes. And I heard one of them say, yeah, they were talking about them tongues are the devil. I said, did I hear you say, yeah, them tongues are the devil? I said, really? I said, let me tell you something. I used to hang around the bar rooms before I got saved. I never heard anybody laying over a bar speaking in tongues, have you? If tongues were the devil, I'd have spoken them. Come on now. The grandkids was up there the other night, and we were feeding them. I can't remember what night it was. I think it was Friday night. And so let's watch a movie, Pappy. I said, all right, what kind of movie? Something about these little minion things, you know. I said, what's a minion? They said, you never heard? I said, no, what is it? And they finally come on, and you had all these little yellow things running around praying in other tongues. I didn't understand a thing they said. They went, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, my goodness, we're going to get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost here. Anybody ever hear them little minions? I mean, I couldn't understand, but they were praying in all kinds of tongues. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Praise the Lord. I said, wow, these kids. What are they saying? Had a good time, though. It gave me a good opportunity to preach. Amen. 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 Don't ever let the enemy of unbelief tell you that your situation will never change. Don't ever let him tell you. When you see those commercials on TV about every man over 50, just say, I'm not one of them. If you're over 60, I'm not one of them. I'm not going to be one of them. Why? Because I choose not to be. Come on. I'm not going to allow that to rob me of my faith. I'm not going to believe for the flu. I'm not going to believe for any of that stuff. Why? Come on, come on, come on. We have the Word of God. Huh? Read the 91st Psalm. I love the 91st Psalm. Amen. 91. No plague. That's the very first thing I said when COVID hit. No plague will come near my dwelling. No plague will come near my dwelling. No plague will come near my dwelling. And I had some of my own kids upset. Yeah, you got to watch it because you got to. I said, if you don't like it, get out of my house. Get out of my house. I'm not spraying myself down. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not going into all that stuff. If you don't like it, go. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not going to live in fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Not everybody agreed with me to keep the church open, but we did, and we will, and it will always be open. Now, come on, it will always be open. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, and we're not going to let the enemy of unbelief tell us any different, or any other goofball politician liberal. I'm sorry, them liberals. Dr. Fauci. Going down the road, and I thought this pastor, I had him, when in his office, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought he would change the church a little bit. And he had a church sign right out by a 40 going down through St. Clairsville. You know what it said? Remember your social distancing. I got upset. I called him. I said, what's wrong with you? I said, when are you going to open up your church? Well, it depends on what Dr. Fauci says. I said, are you kidding me? I don't think he's talked to me since. If they deny the power, stay away. It ain't going to break my heart any. Are you listening to me? This stuff is real. We serve a real God. The power of God is real. And we're not going to let the enemy of unbelief put anything in our heads or in our hearts that's going to hinder us from walking in the blessing and the vision that God gave us. Can I get an amen this morning? Come on. I'm just getting started here. Oh, man, we got all day. Ooh, this is so good. This is so good. Hang on to your vision, whatever vision God's given you. Hang on to your vision. Young people, hang on to your vision. I don't care if it's a college scholarship. Hang on to your vision. It doesn't matter what it is. Whether it's a vision of healing, whether it's a better job, whether it's a better place to live, the salvation of a loved one. There are plenty of promises the Word of God gives us to hang on to. Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the word, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. If people want to perish in unbelief, let them go ahead and perish, but you don't have to perish with them. Come on. You've got a vision that's implanted in your heart by the Word of God. Vision. I love that word, vision. The Word of God is designed to put vision on the inside of you, give you a vision. Don't allow anyone to stop you from entering the promised land that God has prepared for you. Man, he's got a special place prepared for every one of his kids. Amen. Hang on to that vision. I thought about this. Blind Bartimaeus might not have had his sight, but he had vision. Huh? Blind Bartimaeus, he may not have had his sight, but he had vision. Come on. When he was sitting by the side of the highway outside of Jericho begging for money, he was listening very intently to everything that was going on around him. You know what the Holy Spirit told me about Bartimaeus? I love this. I wrote it down. He was listening for something much more valuable than the coins that were being tossed in his cup. Woo! Come on. He was listening for something much more valuable than the coins that were being tossed in his cup. You've got something much more valuable than what's in your bank account. I can tell you that right now. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit. And it's angels. He was listening. Huh. He was listening for the opportunity to meet Jesus so he could get his sight restored. He had already heard stories about Jesus, the son of David, who was going around healing folks. That produced faith on the inside of him for healing. He had a vision on the inside of him, seeing one day. Everywhere he went, everywhere he sat begging, he was listening. I'm sure he told those who would listen to him that one day Jesus would restore his sight. But you know what they said? Who's going to listen to a beggar? Look at the condition you're in. Who's going to listen to you? Jesus ain't going to want nothing. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Come on. Not many mighty or not many noble are called. Because, man, they got it all together. All the plaques on the wall. You know what I'm talking about. I'm sure he got laughed at more than once. But finally, the opportunity came. Here he is sitting by the dusty road begging for money. Here's a commotion going on. Ask somebody, what's going on? And somebody said, Jesus of Nazareth is coming down the road. That's all it took. He came unglued, jumped up and started yelling for Jesus. Something called faith went off on the inside of him. And as soon as, now listen to this, as soon as faith came out of his mouth, the unbelief of other people showed up. The unbelief of others tried to stop his miracle. Amen. The enemy of unbelief. Mark chapter 10, 46 through 48. As he came to Jericho, he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. When the Bible says cry out, I mean he was screaming. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And look what the very first thing happened. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. Oh, shut up. He don't want, Jesus don't want nothing. Just shut up. What are you doing screaming? You see, too many times we let the devil talk us out of our miracle. We let the devil talk us out of our blessing because of what other folks around us might say. Huh? What happened? Look what he did. He cried the more a great deal. A great deal. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. He wasn't going to let the enemy of unbelief stop him from getting his miracle. He couldn't see with his eyes, but he had a vision in his heart. And that's where the word of faith is supposed to be, in our mouth and in our heart. You know what it says here, verse 48? Many charged him that he shall hold his peace. A bunch of folks told him to shut up. Many. There's many voices in the world, the Bible says, and none are without significance. And you need to watch what voices you listen to, come on, and what ones you choose to tune out. Many charged him, not just a few. But he didn't allow the unbelief of many to make his faith of no effect. They tried to lie to him, tell him Jesus wanted nothing to do with him, but his faith overrode all their unbelief, and he yelled the louder so much that Jesus heard him. verses 49 and 50. Jesus stood still. Do you have the kind of faith that makes Jesus stand still? Do you know why Jesus stood still? Because this man wouldn't quit. Come on. He screamed out. He screamed to the loudest he could, to the top of his voice. And Jesus heard faith in there. Jesus stood still. Praise God. And then commanded him to be called. Huh. Think about that just a minute. And they called him, saying to him, "Oh, be of good comfort, rise, he calls you." And I love verse 50. The first thing he did, he casted away his garment and came to Jesus. The very first thing he did, he threw that beggar's cloak down, because you had to have a beggar's cloak in order to be out to be a beggar. That way not anybody could just sit there and act like they're blind for money. The very first thing he did, he got rid of that cloak. Why? Because he knew in his heart what was going to happen. He would never have to beg again. He would never have to beg again. The Bible says, "I've never seen the righteous forsaking or his seed begging bread." You will never have to beg when you have a relationship, come on, with Jesus Christ. You don't have to beg for anything. God has already provided everything for you if you receive it by faith. I've seen people have vision of a beautiful home. And, "Oh, well, you don't make that kind of money. Oh, that'll never happen." And all of a sudden, then they produce a negative vision on the inside of them, and it nullifies them of their faith. And the enemy of unbelief just robs them. And then they settle for what other folks say. The only thing you need to settle for is "thus saith the Lord" right here. That's what you need to settle for. The Bible says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." The Bible says all things are possible to him that believes. All things. That leaves nothing out. I don't care what it is. All things are possible to the believer. He took his beggar's coat off. Verse 51 and 52. Jesus said, "What do you want that I do to you?" The blind man said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Now look here. Jesus said unto him, "Go your way. Your faith has made thee whole." Why do you think the devil hates faith? He said, "Your faith." God didn't heal him. His faith. His faith. Jesus said, "Go." He said, "Your faith." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He probably became one of his closest disciples. Everywhere Jesus went, he went. Think about that for a minute. Whose report was he going to believe? He was going to believe the report of the Lord. Come on. Not what everybody else said around him. He was not going to let the enemy of unbelief rob him of his faith. This is good. Many times people come to church and they get their faith built up with the Word of God, and then later in the week they get around the workplace or around certain relatives that breed negativity, and by the end of the week they find themselves speaking differently and acting differently than they did the week before. What have they done? They've allowed other folks' unbelief to hinder them or rob them of their faith, where it became no effect. It's easy to do when you're out there in the workplace. You got to get built up, brother. Listen, if I had to work around a bunch of unbelievers, I'd get up an hour early and read the book of Proverbs. Get in this thing. Keep your spirit man built up. Keep it built up. We believe the Word of God to be true, and we believe that it's working effectually in us. Huh? We don't think that unbelief is going to make us of no effect, our faith. We believe that the Word of God is working effectually in us. I love 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Look what it says here. "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing." Continually, why? Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as in the truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. Come on, give the Lord a hand. It will work effectually in you that believe. It will only work effectually in the believer, nobody else. It will only work effectually in those who believe it. Not those who doubt it, not those who say it's done away with. Amen. Amen. It will only work for the believer. And you're a believer this morning, and it's going to work for you. Give the Lord a hand. That's the truth. You know, Jesus was the Word made flesh, was he not? He was the Word made flesh. And in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And even though he was the Word made flesh, he couldn't help those that didn't believe it. Amen. The Bible says he came to his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the Son of God, even to those who believe on his name. I'm just quoting scripture to you. He went to Nazareth where he was raised up, and he went to the synagogue to teach. And while he was teaching, faith was present. And you know, I would just, you know, contemplating, and I'm trying to picture in my mind as I study Jesus. And here's Jesus, and he's teaching everywhere, and he's got his disciples with him. And he probably said this: "Man, I can't wait to go back to where I was raised. I can't wait to, Uncle Tom needs a healing, and Aunt Susie, and my brothers and sister. I can't wait. Man, I just can't wait to go back to my hometown." Wrong. Matthew 13:54. When he came to his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, saying, "Where is this man wisdom in these mighty works? Where did he get this?" In other words, the Spirit of God started to move. Amen? It started to move. They were getting firsthand faith from Jesus himself, the Word of God. Things started to happen, and then the enemy of unbelief showed up and ruined the whole meeting. Look what it says here. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? His brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all here with us? Where then does this man have all these things? They were, look at verse 57, they were offended at him. Who does he think he is? We saw him when he was a snot-nosed kid growing up. Who does he think he is now? They were offended at him. Think about that. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house." They did not receive him as a prophet. And he did not there many mighty works. Why? Because of their unbelief. Because of the enemy of unbelief. He only did a few things, not like the things that he wanted to do for them. Man, you know they were sick. You know the town was full of sick folk. And he couldn't do anything. The unbelief there made the faith of God of no effect. Now, Mark said in his gospel, in Mark chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, he could there do no mighty work except lay his hands on a few sick folk and heal them. One translation says a few people with minor ailments. And look what else he said. He marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled. Jesus. And what did he do? He left there and went to the other villages. He went there hoping and thinking maybe he could get his family, help his family, help those that he grew up with. But look what happened. They shot him down. They were offended at him. Who does he think he is? Some of you have asked people to come out here. Who's the pastor out there? Jeff Lewis. Oh, he can't be a preacher. Steve's heard it. Oh, I knew him back when he was a kid. Oh, he did this and he did that. People are always going to do that. Come on, they're always going to do that. They don't understand how God can change a man or a woman. Come on, they don't understand it. The enemy of unbelief. He could there do no mighty work. He marveled. It's not recorded, and this is what blew me away. It's not recorded that any blind eyes were opened, any deaf ears were opened, any lame walked. None of that happened because of the enemy of unbelief. And that's what we're to guard ourselves against. They were in the room with Jesus himself and limited what he could do or what he wanted to do for them in his own hometown. He marveled. They could not enter into the anointing available to them and the promise of healing because of the enemy of unbelief. We need to be careful about that. Reminded me of the children of Israel all those 20 years old and up died in the wilderness because of unbelief. This is serious stuff. I believe in my heart that many good Christian people die prematurely because they don't understand about healing. I believe that. I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. I heard a lady preacher one time, and very, 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 very anointed. This woman's anointed. Her husband was a great man of God. He died in a plane wreck going to a meeting, but she was with another lady who had lost her husband prematurely, and so she kept asking her, the lady that was with her kept asking her, "Well, why do you think my husband died? Yeah, why do you think?" And she finally got up the courage to tell her. She said, "Can I tell you something without offending you?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "The reason he died prematurely is because he went to the wrong church. They didn't believe in healing. Not saying he didn't go to heaven, amen, but he went to heaven too quickly. There's too many people checking out too quickly. We need to keep the faith. We need to finish our course like Paul said. Come on, we all have a race to run. And when you're in the ministry, if you have a, we're not going to let anybody here, listen, not finish their course. We're going to stay with you. Come on, we're a family of faith here. We're a family of faith. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Who was he grieved with 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore that they should not enter into his rest? Who? Them that believed not. So we see they could not enter in. Why? Because of unbelief. The enemy of unbelief. They could not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. Listen. They yielded to the enemy and it cost them greatly. God had the land that flowed with milk and honey, and he never got to see it. When the disciples couldn't get a man's demon-possessed son delivered, they got alone with Jesus. They said, "Jesus, why couldn't we do it?" Matthew 17, verse 19 through 20. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could we not cast him out, Jesus? We want to know why." And look what he said. "Because of your unbelief." This is tough, but it's true. "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be removed yonder place, and it shall remove, and what? Nothing shall be impossible with you." Come on, give the Lord a hand. Nothing. Nothing shall be impossible with you. Amen. This shows us here the best way to fight against unbelief. Speaking words of faith. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say something. You'll say something. You'll say something. Just as a mustard seed grows, listen, just as a mustard seed grows, it starts out small, the more I speak faith, the more it will grow. That's right. When Jesus talked about the mustard seed, he said it's the least of all seeds, but when it is sown, it grows into the greatest among plants so that the birds of the air come and lodge under it. Think about that a minute. Matthew 13, verse 31 and 32. Another parable, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all. You ever see a mustard seed, how small they are? You got to look real close to see them. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge under the branches thereof. Amen. That's what he said here. And the word of God is referred to as a seed. And when it is spoken by faith, it's sown into the realm of the spirit and accomplishes exactly what it was designed by God to accomplish. Whether it's the word concerning deliverance, whether it's the word concerning healing, whatever it is. When Jesus taught the parable of the seed, he said some fell by the wayside, some fell on a rock, some fell among thorns, but some fell on good ground and bear fruit, some 30, 60, and some 100-fold. And look what he said. The parable was this. The seed is the word of God. Come on, you've got the seed right here. Come on, you've got the seed right here. Everything after its kind. Amen? If you want to grow cucumbers, you put cucumber seed in the ground, right? I went down to the Moundsville Co-op one year to get cucumber plants, and I was so dumb, I actually thought they were cucumber plants. And all these big yellow things started growing on it. I said, boy, I got duped. I think somebody went around there and just started pulling all the tags out and sticking them around, right? Amen. Well, I thought, man, that's, you know. So you better know what seeds you're planting. And when those cucumbers and tomatoes start getting ripe, just bring them over. We'll find a home for all of them. Come on, help me out just a little bit. Amen. The seed's the word of God. The word of God is the only thing that will defeat the enemy of unbelief every time. Come on, every time. You remember what we showed you last week? It is written. 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 Keep hearing it. Keep speaking it. Whose report are you going to believe? Amen? It has to be the report of the Lord. When Moses sent the 12 spies out to spy out the land of Canaan that God had already promised to give to Israel, Caleb stood before the people. He stood before the people. Stood before the children of Israel. 12 of them went out. 10 spies. 12 spies. Only two, Joshua and Caleb, come back with a positive faith report. And the other 10, it was all negative, negative. The enemy of unbelief showed up right. Here they're standing in front of all the children of Israel. The children of Israel are waiting to go into the land with their kids and their livestock and their families and everything they own. Ready to go. We can't wait for this report. Hallelujah, man. We just can't wait. And here they come back. The Bible says Caleb stood before the children of Israel and gave them firsthand information about the land he saw. Numbers 13:30. Caleb stilled the people because they were all shook up. He said, let us go up at once and possess it. At once, for we are well able to overcome it. Come on, give the Lord a hand. He was positive about the whole thing. And as soon as he said that, the enemy of unbelief showed up. Look at verse 31. But the men that were with him, this goes to show you the majority never rules. I said the majority never rules. That's why churches split, because they vote on everything. I've seen churches split because of the color of the carpet that they voted on. Some of them went green and some of them went red, so the other ones left. Come on now, I'm telling you the truth. It's goofy stuff. Had a pastor call me one time, wanted my wife to go decorate the church. He said, I came to your church. It's so beautiful. He said, I know your wife. You think she'd die? Talk to her. She goes, I ain't don't get involved in that mess. I said, I don't blame you. You're going to make everybody happy. But the men that went up with him said, they went up. They saw the same thing. They sat in the same church. They heard the same message. We're not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than we are. Big wussies. Now look what happened here. They brought up an evil report of the land. It was an evil report because it was a report of unbelief. And when God said it's a good land and you say it's a bad land, that's evil, brother. Come on, you're calling God a liar. Man, you better not call God a liar. They brought up an evil report of the land which they searched to the children of Israel, saying, the land which we have gone to search it, it eats up the inhabitants thereof, and the people we saw were men of great stature. Listen, they brought back grapes and fruit. The grapes were so big they had to bring them back on a pole, on men's shoulder. Are you listening to what I'm telling you this morning? We be not able. It nullified everything. And the unbelief robbed them of entering into the land that God had already promised them. Caleb spoke the promise. And the other men, except for Joshua, spoke unbelief. And God called it an evil report. And I'm going to close with this next verse. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Well, we're going to leave you with this. Take heed. Take heed, brethren, take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Woo! This sums it up. Take heed, be careful, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. The enemy of unbelief. Unbelief is evil because it's saying that God's word's not true. Huh? Don't allow the enemy to cause you to depart from the living God. Some of you watching by live stream, you've allowed the enemy of unbelief to rob you. Oh, you come here when you need healed, you know where to come. You come here when you think the enemy is going to take your life and we pray for you and God heals you, then we don't see you again. You have in you an evil heart of unbelief. You're telling me that? I'm telling you that. I'm looking right into your screen. I'm telling you that. Now listen, God will forgive you if you repent. You need to repent, come on, because you've let people lie to you and tell you the word of God is not true and it's made the word of God of no effect in your life. You better get on the ball. Come on, help me out a little bit. Am I right? Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we're just so thankful today. Glory to God for people of faith. I've seen it. I've experienced it here. When one of our members suffer, how the other members gather around them and say, no, 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 keep the faith. God's going to bless you. God's going to use you. God's going to heal you. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. That's why the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some are, but as much as you see the day approaching, glory to God. Father God, I want to thank you for people of faith that you've sent to this house. I want to thank you, God, for people that believe the Bible that you've sent here. You've removed the ones who didn't and brought in others who do. God, I just want to praise you. I want to thank you. And I just ask a blessing right now on those under the sound of my voice, those watching by live stream, those watching the babies, those teaching our children, those teaching the youth. God, I just pray that you'll give them a blessed week, a blessed week, a blessed week. And give them the desires of their heart. Help them to hang on to the promise that you've given them, whatever it is. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You're dismissed.